Lodi grape growers and winemakers, Marcus and Liz Bokish, pioneered the introduction of Spanish grape varieties in the region. Their first experimental plantings of Tempranillo, Albariño, and Graciano back in 1999 were wildly successful, and Spanish varieties are now an integral part of the Lodi grape growing and winemaking landscape. Today, Bokish Vineyards Library has expanded to 9 Spanish varieties, including Garnacha, Garnacha Blanc, Monestrel, and Verdejo. As a testimony of what others think of their wines, Bokish received 2 golds at the San Francisco International Wine Competition 2016 and another gold at the Sunset International Wine Competition 2016 for their Terra Alta Albariño. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join Marcus and Liz Bokish at their Lodi tasting room as they share their life journey and passion. Marcus, how long have you been doing your winery operation here?
Well, we started our winery operation. We started the nucleus of the idea. It actually started back in 1989, but we didn't really start our first vintage until 2000. So we've been doing it now for 17 vintages.
When you were at UC Davis in the early, mid-80s, did you have a vision? Did you know where you wanted to wind up in life?
Absolutely had a vision that was not this one.
Funny. Where did you think you would be?
Well, I had studied and graduated with international agricultural development. Mm-hmm. My goal was to go to Latin America and work on tropical fruits. What happened was I met my incredible wife, and I thought, well, I'm not ready to go quite yet. I think I'm going to stick around for a year. She did the same, by the way. Mm-hmm. She was ready to go to Madrid to teach English to Spaniards. And we decided that we were going to get a job in a valley that was right next to Davis, which happened to be Napa Valley. And that's when I discovered my absolute love for that field of work.
And so what was it that hooked you? There must have been something that really resonated.
Well, I think there were 2 moments. The first moment was really falling in love with grapevines and understanding the pathology of grapevines, understanding how they grow, understanding what you need to do to extract the maximum quality. And then after 3 years of working in the Napa Valley, we moved to Spain. And after that, we traveled all over Europe in our old VW bus. Mm-hmm. While doing that, I saw that there were many operations that were family-owned and who were vertically integrated. So they grew their grapes, they made their wines, they sowed their own bottles of wine, and I just thought that that was fascinating. And
this was in Spain.
Yeah, this was in Spain. And so that was 1993 is when I finally had that moment where I realized that our destiny was eventually to have our own vineyards, develop our own brand, eventually have our own winery facility, which we've achieved finally. So
that's so cool. You didn't settle in Napa or Sonoma. You chose Lodi. The reasons why?
Well, you know, I think our family emigrated to this country, and so we didn't have any land. So that gave me a unique opportunity that most growers don't get. Mm-hmm. Most growers, they inherit their land, or they'll expand a family operation in a particular area, and they come filled with the prejudices of their area. And I could actually go all over California, including Southern Oregon, and look for the land that I felt was going to be most suited to Spanish varietals. And that's exactly what I did. So fortunately, having worked at Joseph Phelps Vineyards when I was in Napa, one of my duties was as viticulturist and as a grower relations representative for them, traveling all over the state looking for Rhone varietals. Mm-hmm. And so I put all that knowledge to use when I finally landed on the decision to move not just to Lodi, but to the volcanic rolling eastern hills of Lodi, which are ideally suited towards Mediterranean vigorous varieties.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And terroir, the soil, and the temperatures are very much Mediterranean, what you're saying.
Absolutely. And we have a strong coastal influence through the delta. So we have that cooling effect at nighttime, but the days mimic very similarly what you would experience if you were in the Rioja or if you were in the Penedès or, for that matter, even in Tuscany. Se asoman las muchachas
a la margarita. Planted our first experimental block of Spanish varieties in 1999, and our first vintage was the year 2000. I'm going to pour for you right now a Verdejo, which is a variety from the interior of Spain, from the Rueda region. Let's give a little taste of that. You'll notice from the color, it's a really nice, light, crisp wine. It's very fruity around, and one of our most delicious wines to serve with seafood. And we have vineyards planted out here in the eastern side of Lodi. This part of the Appalachian, it has a lot of volcanic clay loam soils. See, we have 8 different varieties that we grow, and all of our farming is certified green by sustainable farming standards. And that's very important to us because we want to have balanced farming, and balanced farming also creates a balanced wine. So it's important to really focus on the grape, which is the most important ingredient in the winemaking. We've been growing grapes since 1995. And so my husband Marcus is a specialist in viticulture and farming wine grapes. And we grow lots of different varieties, not only Spanish. We have a large farm management company where we grow the big guys, the Cabs, the Chardonnays, Merlots, and all those wines. But one of the funnest things for us is to keep experimenting, because I think you notice that in California, Lodi's largest grape-growing region. In California, a lot of people don't realize that, but there's 110,000 acres of wine grapes in Lodi. You can fit all of Napa and Sonoma in Lodi, but we're just at the tip of the iceberg with experimenting with varieties. That's what's fun about our project, doing these Spanish varieties. If you think about Spain and other countries in Europe, they've been growing wine since the Roman days. They've had a lot of practice. Our oldest vineyards are from the early 1900s. We have about 100 years under our belt, and that's it. So we have a lot to learn, and there's limitless what you can experiment with and learn from. And Lodi area allows you to do that because we aren't so boxed in with having to produce Cabernets or Pinot Noirs. We can experiment with just about anything out here, and the climate is ideal for that as well. I should mention that we also are certified organic. So we do both. Certified organic is pretty easy to understand. It's basically your limit of having no man-made pesticides, for instance. With sustainable farming, it's very much a wider scope. You have to look at how much you disc so you don't create too much air particle matter, dust basically. You have to look at how much water you're using in the vineyard. You're measured on how you manage your natural environment, like your riparian zone, to make sure you're doing what you can naturally. Like, we have owl boxes and we maintain our oak trees so that we can have roosting opportunity for predators that will get the rodents instead of putting rodent bait. There's also a human element, which is really nice about this program, the Lodi Rules for Sustainable Farming, where you have to try to have a steady workforce for your employees so you don't have as much migratory workforce. You try to work with your community of employees. A lot of them are migrant workers, but try to give them a long, long season to create more stability within your community. That's a really neat aspect to it as well.
Spanish varietals have really taken off as far as plantings and the production in the Central Coast and up here, right? You were ahead of the curve.
Yeah, we were the very first winery to focus on making a still wine out of Tempranillo. There had been some excellent ports being made using Tinto Roriz as one of the varieties, and that is the synonym in Portugal for Tempranillo.
Why do you think that people missed it? Why did they not get it? I mean, you know, and I know tons of winemakers and winery people that have traveled extensively throughout Europe since World War II.
Yeah. I think, well, if you take it all the way back to when California was New Spain, one thing was really clear is that the mothership, Spain, did not want to compete with its colonies for wine production. So they made sure that no cuttings could cross the Atlantic Ocean.
Wow. This was an edict in Spanish colonial California.
This was an edict. And so the only thing that could be brought over were seeds. And that's how the missionaries got their sacramental wine, mm-hmm. by such things as the mission grape that don't make very good wine.
You know what? I need to interrupt because I've heard that for years, that it just sucked, you know. And why why is it that they couldn't have figured it out? And is anybody today taking that mission grape and trying to fix it or do something with it?
Well, the mission grape has certainly its place, and it really is in brandy production, Angelica, which is a fabled traditional California wine. And so these semi-sweet, higher alcohol wines, Mission does very, very well. Mm-hmm. But Mission is also really hard to process in modern machinery because the seeds are so big mm-hmm. and the berries are so big that they don't really work very well for destemming. So not a lot of people work with Mission, but some people who are working with Mission are making some really interesting things.
Well, I'd like to have a taste of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So another part of this story of why Spanish varieties aren't as well known as they should be, given this used to be New Spain, is that most of the cuttings that came to California came from our founding fathers, the 13 original colonies in the East. And as we all know, Jefferson and Washington and everybody, they experimented with viticulture and they experimented with winemaking. And so they were very, very closely attached to the French, and the French helped us during our revolution. And so it made sense that a lot of the varieties that we focused on in America started with Cabs, Merlots, Pinot Noirs, etc. And that just made it all the way to California when California became part of the Union.
It's interesting how you guys go sideways in your wine production because of a movie or, you know, because of weird sneezes in the marketplace that have nothing to do with reality. Isn't that frustrating to you sometimes? Whether it's, you know, Rosé non grata in that era.
Yeah, you know, it is interesting. I know that when we started, Spanish varieties were not very well understood, not very well known. And so when we went into Spanish varieties, it certainly wasn't probably the best marketing idea. Mm-hmm. We were doing it because of the connection to Spanish culture through my mother. We're Catalans. We come from near Barcelona.
So it really was a familial and a personal passion that drove you, not a marketing ploy at all.
No, not at all.
You knew you were paying a price to stick to your heart, right?
Absolutely. But now what's interesting is that sector has become so popular. Mm-hmm. So, for example, here in Lodi, when we started, we were the only ones making Tempranillo. Now there's over 23 wineries making a Tempranillo, and that's in a span of 17 years.
Mm-hmm. And that same thing up and down the coast, everywhere you go.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. There's a term that's been flying around a little bit over the last 5 years, which is Lodiberia, because Lodi has really become quite a center for Albarino as well, and experimentation with other less familiar varieties from Spain. So you have probably one of the highest concentrations of Spanish varietals anywhere in North America would be found now in Lodi.
Let me interrupt for a moment. It sounds like that economics is a driver and was a driver in why guys like you could take that risk and be experimental. You couldn't have afforded to do this in Napa soil.
Absolutely. And another great benefit of Lodi, which we did not anticipate, is that people here can be a lot more creative on what they plant and what they make into wine because the price per ton that you get for, let's say, a Chardonnay is no more than and perhaps less than what you would for a Peak Pool or a Menthia. Mm-hmm. So it allows for a lot of creativity, whereas if I were in Napa and I didn't plant Cabernet and St. Helena, it would be rather foolish.
So pioneers go bankrupt. Well, our forklift is waiting for us, and I'm going to have to come back and visit with you again. This has been great. Thanks so much. What a joy to visit with you.
Oh, well, thank you very much, and I could talk your ear off about so many other varieties that I'm really impassioned about, so
please do
come back. Yeah. So my name is Marcus Bokish with Bokish Vineyards. We're located here in the Clemens Hills of Lodi, and if you want to learn more about us, please look us up at our website at bokishvineyards.com. But if you type in Bokish, I can assure you there's only one.
Well, that's a good thing. And you have a tasting room.
And we have a tasting room located on Atkins Road, easily found from our webpage and from the visitor center in Lodi.
Marcus, thanks again. How cool.
Thank you very much.
All right. I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Lodi, California.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomascwilmer.com. Our associate producers from the San Francisco Bay Area include Molly Blaisdell, Lori King, and Susie Rodriguez. Melissa Corbin reporting, Tennessee. Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada. Kim Schneider from Michigan. Elaine Masters in San Diego. Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon. Rebecca Bingham, Hot Springs, Arkansas. And Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAN. KLAR.
Se asoman y se admiran, se asoman las muchachas a la margarita.